We close out this month of July. It's been a long month. We had now 5 weeks. We're starting in July. And we've been looking at In God We Trust and understanding through the Scriptures exactly what the Bible says about a nation who refuses to make God their God and who refuses to take what God's given to them, both the warnings but also the blessings, and apply them. And we see the demise of a nation through the nation of Israel, which is a great example for us to follow as a nation. Now, Isaiah 5, we're going to study this for this morning, and then we'll move ahead next week to something else, Lord willing. As we study this, we've seen that God has greatly blessed a nation in the nation of Israel. We paralleled that with our nation. God is greatly blessed. That's an understatement. He's greatly blessed our nation. But as some of you have recently seen, as you've traveled across the country and seen our great heritage and seen all that's out there, we realize very quickly that if we don't change, something's going to happen. It has to happen. God is unchanging. God is not just wishy-washy. He has a system in which He works. He has a pattern in which He works. And Lord willing, we're going to see this in our Bible Institute here this semester. So something must happen. Something is going to happen to bring judgment to our nation. As you know this, and this week, this very week, if you watch the news at all, you follow any of that, and if you're just kind of a thumb through the news type of person, or if you're a really involved person in the media or news, you realize our leadership are corrupt, to say it lightly. We're corrupt. They're evil people making evil decisions. And I say that very, very carefully, but truly, because we understand they're not following the Word. Okay, now Isaiah 5, we won't read all of it. It's a rather lengthy chapter, but jump down to verse 8 with me, if you will. Verse 8, now we're going to look at this. If you've ever studied this before, there are 6 woes to a nation. A woe is a warning. Okay, now remember this. Verse 8, woe unto them that join house to house, lay field to field, till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. Mine ears, saith the Lord of hosts, of a truth, many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair without inhabitant. Yea, 10 acres of vineyard shall yield 1 bath, and the seed of a omer shall yield an ephah. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, and continue until night, till wine inflame them. And the harp and the viol and the tabret and the pipe and wine are in their feast, that they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of His hands. Notice 13, therefore my people are gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge. Their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Jump down to verse 18, if you will, please, for sake of time. Verse 18, woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as it were with a cart rope. They say, let him make speed, hasten his work, that we may see it. Let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it. Mockery. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Is that not us? That not our nation? That put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That's America. This is right, and if you don't like it, we're going to be against you. Yeah, but this is what the Bible, we don't care what that says. We create our new standard by which we live by. Verse 21, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. They're self-justifying. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteous of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness. Their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised, notice, the word of the Holy One of Israel. That's America, isn't it? And we're fast approaching much of that. We are so entertained today, it's not funny. We're so sidetracked. The average person on the street today could not quote to you 1 verse out of the Bible. They really couldn't. I watched a fella, I don't know where it was, somewhere, but he went to different stores and he asked people, can you quote a Bible verse? And they said, no, I can't. Not just one, half a one. No, we don't know the word. And that's what he ends with it. What? They mock the name, they mock the word, and they despise the word. There's six woes. Now, do we have that, Brother Adam, that first clip of it? Notice the six woes, the first one. An accumulation of property. Property. Verse 8 through 10. Again, this is dealing with a lot of materialism and other things like that. But as America, as you study the empires, what do? We accumulate property. Any great empire knows that, and they know that in order to be powerful, and really all-powerful, you got to accumulate land, other things. This goes hand in hand with our materialism personally. What's the next one? Notice the disregard of God's word. Disregard. He says you take it and you, what? Treat it as if it's not applicable or it's not applying to your life. It's something of a mockery. It's something of, oh, that's your opinion. You ever talk to somebody like that? Well, that's your opinion. No, that's the Bible. That's the Bible. They disregard God's word. I said it before, but once where the Bible lay open on a pedestal in some of our biggest institutions, including the White House and other places, it stood there or it sat there on an open as this is, it is now removed or closed, isn't it? And you folks that grew up in school, public school, where you prayed every morning, you even studied the Bible. No longer. What's the next one? Defying God, we know that. Verses 18 through 19, they defy God. They basically say to him, tell the Holy One of Israel to leave us alone. Tell him to stop bothering us. Now that's a great picture of the reality of God, because they're so bothered by it, they're so convicted by it, yet they deny the one who's convicting them. They defy God. The next one, moral values are inverted. Notice that. They call evil good and good evil. They put light for darkness. Don't they do that? They do it all the time. This is the standard. This is good. No, that's an abomination according to the Bible. Well, that's your opinion. No, that's the Bible's opinion. They take light, they take truth, and they replace it with darkness. And then they call it good, and we're indoctrinating our little children today with those very things, aren't we? It's okay. It's okay. What's the next one? Full of self-satisfaction. Isn't that true? Just self-satisfied. We are increased with goods. You remember the churches of Revelation? There's six of them, and the very last one is a church where? Laodicea. Laos meaning of the people or by the people or for the people. It's a church that was run by the people and not the Holy Spirit. And you ought to be a part of a church that desires and pleads for the Holy Spirit to come in. Not what we want, what does God want? And you think about it, self-satisfying. They're full of self-satisfaction. And that church at Laodicea, what? It was Jesus on the outside knocking. Anybody hear that? Who's knocking? Oh, well, ignore it. Let's keep preaching about Jesus. He's on the outside wanting to come in. That's the church. That's the church. And church ought to draw you closer to Christ and exalt the Savior in it. Okay. How many we got left? One more. Judgment of perverted. Truly. It's perverted judgment. It truly is. It's the judgment that comes that will put a man in prison for standing on the corner preaching the Bible, but will allow a giant parade through downtown of the people's rights, right? We're here, we're queer, and we're coming for your children. Did you see that in the news? I mean, they're running down the streets chanting this. They want to indoctrinate the kids. They want our children. This is exactly what it is. Now, these are the woes for a nation, and this is for the nation of Israel, but it's for our nation clearly. The great Roman Empire that rose to almighty power that it did during its time and conquered most of the known world, it came to a demise. How could it have? Because of these very things. This is exactly what happened. As we see it. Now, do you have the next slide, brother? As we look at this, now notice this with me. Very interesting. If you've studied this before, this is the progression of any great nation or of any even church or entity, person, anybody. But notice where it starts out. It starts in bondage. The bondage then goes to what? Spiritual faith. Our nation was in bondage. We had to answer to the king across the pond. And then our forefathers stepped out by faith and said, no, we're not going to do that. And it led them to their knees, didn't it? Spiritual faith. It's fascinating that the early settlers of our nation, those early 13 colonies, extremely religious people. Isn't that fascinating, right? Well, then it leads to what? Courage. It led to courage that led them to fight against a mighty fortified army. Our fellows over here on this side hardly had any weaponry. And they sent over by the hordes, thousands, tens of thousands of British soldiers, didn't they? With mighty artillery. And we had them old rednecks up in the trees when they came over and they hit about South Carolina, North Carolina. They hit that. Those old rednecks up in the trees had a sharp, they were sharpshooters, boy. They were good at hunting. And those guys in those redcoats got off those boats and started walking. He just picked them off. Poom, poom. That's who. It led to courage. Well, courage led to liberty, didn't it? The greatest nation to ever exist. We still believe that because it was founded upon the Bible, the Word of God. It led, though, liberty leads to abundance. And abundance then leads to what? Selfishness. Selfishness leads to complacency. We get too cocky. We get too big for our britches. A complacency leads to then apathy. And apathy then leads to dependence. Dependence on what? Not God and not the Bible. And if you will follow the nation of Israel, as I said last week, one of the marks of the end of a nation is they not only a perverted society, but debt. We go into debt to other nations. The nation of Israel went into debt to other nations. Hey, would you come help us fight this battle? Sure, for a price. And then they owned them. So then dependency leads all the way back to bondage. All the way back to bondage. Now, for us that know our Bibles, the bondage, the end of it, we believe that's when Jesus comes back. Now, I hope you're praying for that. As I said, unless you're not married yet. Okay. I hope you're praying that you see the return of Christ and He calls us home. I hope you are. And when we think about now, this bondage then is going to turn people back to God. That's how merciful our God is. As they go through the great tribulation, and they realize, whoa, those people over at Faithway were right. Man. Okay, it should lead them back to a spiritual faith, so on and so forth. But by that time, everything will be done. So we think about now, this is exactly the place we are. This is where we've come from. And it follows the thing. And one thing we learn from history is what? We never learn from history. We just don't. We keep repeating the process. What do we do now? Let's do it again. I've helped many people with drug addiction, and it's very difficult. But the problem is they think they will do the same thing over and over and expect a different result. I don't feel good. I'm stressed out. I'm burdened. I'm overwhelmed. I'll go to what? My crutch. And I'll do that that fills a void within and makes me feel good. Although what's the end result of it? It makes everything worse, doesn't it? You're repeating the same process again. And we have to understand, something's got to change. And so as we understand, now I'm speaking today, I know to Christians, I'm speaking to the children of God. But I want to encourage you with this, to think about. We as a nation must pray that God would continue to work and bless and help us to reach more people for Christ. That's the goal. That's the goal. We're not going to do much to change this world. We just can't. It's impossible. We're a small group of people. And then break it down even more. We're just individuals trying to do our best, right? Trying to live for God. We can't do much. So God has entrusted us. He's not required us to reach an entire nation per se. We are to pray if my people will pray. We're to reach our own little circle of influence. And I hope you're doing that. The people in your life, the people that are around you. You've been entrusted with children. It's your responsibility to lead them to Christ. It should not be anyone else. You've been entrusted with grandchildren. It's your responsibility to lead them to Christ. And so on and so forth. Co-workers, friends, families, others, and all of you do such a good job, by the way. I don't encourage you enough or thank you enough for reaching your friends, your family members, doing all you can to get them to a saving knowledge of Christ, bringing them in. Thank God for you. Continue to do that. Okay, now let me move ahead here. We'll get through this. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let's go all the way to the New Testament. 1 Timothy 4, towards the end. Now notice what Paul is saying. 1 Timothy, Paul writes two letters to this man named Timothy, who was one of Paul's kind of proteges and One he took under his wings and kind of helped him out. And he sent Timothy to a very wicked city of Ephesus. Very wicked. That very city that Timothy went to preach to, they did not open their arms to him. He led many people to Christ according to church history. But they eventually tied his ankles together behind a stallion and drug his body while he was alive, drug his body through the streets for hours on end until he basically was dead. And then, to make sure he was dead, they all beat him and pummeled him. That's what we read in church history. But Timothy goes, and in 1 Timothy 4, Paul warns Timothy of what will happen. Now notice verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, this is clearly and openly, that in the latter times some shall, what's the word? Depart from the faith. So these are individuals that had the faith, knew the faith, were faithful, whatever the case is, but they departed from it. It's called the great apostasy of the church. Apostate means falling away. Giving heed to, notice this, seducing spirits, doctrines of devils or demons, demonic doctrines. What's a demonic doctrine? Here's one, 1 John. John writes of this, actually 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. He says what? If any come to you and deny who Jesus Christ is. Well, there's a lot of people out there that deny Christ. They believe in God. It's a generic term, G-O-D, God. But they do not believe in Jesus, and they blatantly deny Jesus. I'm sorry, but I will not be buddy-buddies with someone who thinks Jesus and Satan were brothers. It's undoctrinal. It's unbiblical. We know that. Okay. Well, they depart from the faith. They leave it. They give heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of demons or devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Seared. Some of you fellows have done that to your cattle and other things. You put your brand on it. It's seared over. It's calloused over. That's exactly what it is. Their conscience, which once told them that that's right and wrong, that you shouldn't do that, and they felt bad and couldn't sleep at night, that's gone. And my friends, if you continue in sin, I know, you continue in sin, it will sear over. You'll have no more of that. Okay, now notice this, the end time apostasy of that we're going to see, and in particular with the church. The church will fall away, and the posers and fakers and frauds and flakes, they're going to fall away. And they will follow the one world order. And guess what comes with the one world order? A one world religion. Isn't that true? One world religion. And there will come a guy or a man who will stand up with such eloquent speech that will stir the hearts of the people. And the Bible says he will sit in the temple as God and speak as God. He's called the Antichrist. Now there is one man alive today who claims to be the spokesman for God. He's called the Vicar of Christ. You know who that is? It's the Pope. He says, my title is the Vicar of Christ. Vicar means spokesman for God. God speaks directly through the Pope. The Pope speaks to the churches or to the mother church, and the church then speaks to the people. Again, unbiblical. We don't believe that. We do not follow the Pope. We do not worship the Pope. We do not adhere to the teachings of the Pope. Just wanted to let you know that, but it's very clear. And this is what's going to happen, a departing from the faith. John 8:31, he says, Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You continue in my word. I said it, I'll say it again. You will not be a successful Christian outside of this book. You will not know or live in the will of God outside of the Word of God. And all of us have tried that before, haven't we? We won't do it. It's not going to happen. And I know it's hard to do. I don't do very good at it. I miss a lot of days during the week of spending proper time in the Bible. But we ought to make it a habit of spending time in God's Word, wherever it would be. Turn it on in your truck as you're driving. Turn it on in your car. Wherever it is, get your Bible time in. Make it like a habit. Make it something you have to do, or I can't go to sleep at night. I didn't do that today. Hang on, let me finish it. Let me do it. I've got to get it done. Why? Because we want to be successful Christians. As I said last week again, God's desire is that we live up on what's called an optimum level. He wants us operating up here on all 8 cylinders or 12 cylinders, whatever you are. Up here, not down here in a subpar where most of us live. Here a little, there a little, I'll do a little here, maybe show up sometimes. No, up here. We ought to press on. As we sang today, I love the song. Higher ground, I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. How do I do that? They give heed, though, to this demonic doctrine. John 7:17 says, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Ephesians 4, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Go back a little ways. Ephesians 4, and notice this with me. Again, I encourage you to study and mark your Bibles. Underline, circle, highlight, mark up your Bible. Correlate verses. Reference Scripture. It's always a good thing. Ephesians 4, verse 14. Notice this verse. Very interesting. He says that we, he's talking to us as the church, henceforth, from here on out, from here forward, be no more children. That's immature. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, deceitfulness, cunning craftiness, very cunning, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. No, notice that. There is apparently people on the outside trying to seduce us to the other side. I won't describe the word seduce. You know what that means. It's seduce in a provocative way, getting us away. Well, that looks enticing. Man, that looks good. I want that. That's what they do. They're pulling us away. And Paul says that we henceforth, from here on out, be no more children. Now, again, I'm talking to the church this morning. What are we going to do about our nation? We pray for our nation. We try and reach people for Christ. Two of our main obligations. But within the church, we ought to be mature believers, mature Christians that know what's happening. We're not tossed to and fro. I talked to an individual just a while back who claimed to be a Christian for over 35 years, but could not tell me anything about what was happening right now in the world. I said, do you believe that's biblical? Oh, no. I don't know. That's what they said. I don't know. We ought not to be children, immature, tossed to and fro. No, we know what's happening by the sleight of men. Cunning, deceiving. How can I avoid being deceived, Brother Tim? We've got to know the book, right? And we know the book. Everyone in here knows the book pretty well. We know the book. But the average teenager today knows more about what's under the hood of his truck or down the barrel of a gun. The average girl today knows more about what's going on at H&M and Hollister than they do the inside of this book, don't they? It's uncool. It's uncouth. It's not popular to know this book. Notice what he's saying. But speak the truth in love. May grow up. I love the wording of the Bible. So there's children, but then he says you need to grow up. How do we grow? In him. You know the fastest way to mature as a believer is in him. Isn't it? In him. It's in Christ. Give your heart, life, and will over to Christ. And it's as simple as this. People often ask me, Brother Tim, how do I know the will of God? I say, have you asked him? You mean ask him? What do you mean? Ask him. Get alone with God and say, Lord, what is your will? It can't be that easy. It is. But be prepared for what he's going to bring to you. And when God brings something into their lives, they often reject it. Because why? They have no discernment. The discernment comes to a believer who knows the word. Okay, jump over with me to 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4, or look up on the screen. 2 Timothy 4. This again, Paul continues in. And this is where Paul is at the end of his life. Now, if you know your Bible, 2 Timothy was the last letter that Paul wrote before they took his head off. And he wrote it to a young man that he loved very much in Timothy. And he warns Timothy. He encourages Timothy. Now, chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, he brings to us many things. Notice what he says in verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure, they won't put up with it. sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. Notice what he's saying. They won't endure sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is not easy to listen to. It's difficult. As we went through on Wednesday night, our series, we talked about heaven, but we talked about hell. Hell is necessary. If you're going to talk about heaven, you have to inevitably talk about hell. We talked about last Wednesday about death. Death is inevitable, the reality of it. There's a lot of sound doctrine we don't like to think about, right? We don't want to. But almost all of you in here, I believe, have had that moment of, we call it a crisis moment, where you realize that I've got to get saved or else. I've got to get right with the Lord or else, right? That's a crisis moment. So notice what he says. There will be a time that's coming. They won't put up with it. They say, you know what? You've got your doctrine. And after their own lusts will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Teach us something. Okay, the Bible says, and they stop them right there. Oh, no. Teach us something else. Again, notice this. This correlates directly back to the church at Laodicea. It's the people's church. And a man stood up at Laodicea Baptist Church and said, thus saith the Lord. And they stopped him right there and said, no. We'll tell you what to preach. We'll tell you what we want to hear. We'll tell you what we want done here. Heap to themselves teachers. Be careful who you listen to, who you follow. And I know you like listening to certain people and they're great preachers and teachers and they're so eloquent. I know that. But check their doctrinal statement. I can't encourage you enough. Check their doctrinal statement. And when you find out what some of these people believe, it ought to turn you away from that. It really should. I think they speak well and I think this guy on the internet is really good. But what does he believe? I do. I really like how this guy speaks. He's a psychologist. I like how he speaks. But then he used the word, he said, God damn, I'm not putting up with that. You're not going to damn my God's name. Heard a guy the other day, Jesus Christ, does that not drive? I mean, just I can't stand that. I can't. Why? This is what they're doing. Heaping to themselves, teachers having itching ears. Tell us what we want to hear. And notice, turn into fables. It's fairy tale fantasy. It'll be okay. Verse 5, if you're still there, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. It says, Timothy, make sure you're doing. Part of doing the will of God, by the way, is enduring afflictions. It's so true. Jesus gives the great parable and he says there's some seed that falls this way, some seed that falls over here, there's some seed here. There's a seed that falls and sprouts up for a little time and then the heat of the sun, it has no root, it withers away. How many people I talk to so often that said, I used to go to that. I used to read the Bible. No, there was no root in them. They don't understand that one of the aspects or key things in following God is enduring affliction. Being prepared for it. Earlier in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, he calls Timothy to be a soldier. A soldier. Really, three aspects of the Christian life in that chapter is that we're one, to be a warrior. Two, we're to be a workman. And three, we're to be a watchman. We're warring. That's enduring. We're a workman. We're studying the scriptures. We're not lazy. We're not apathetic towards the things of God. And we're watchmen. We're watching out over the top there at the tower, watching for the enemies, watching for our kids, watching for our spouse, being cautious and careful, taking heed, not allowing that into the home. Okay, so this is what's happening. And Paul says this is what will happen. They speak lies and hypocrisy. They give heed to seducing spirits, they depart from the faith. Let me bring it home here. Lastly, Romans chapter 1. And in Romans 1, again, you know where I'm going here, but we find very interesting, Paul is quoting and speaking of what will take place at the end. This is thousands of years ago. We're not there yet. We're arriving very soon. Romans 1, let's jump down to verse 21, because that when they knew God. See, everyone has the knowledge of God. Everybody. They glorified Him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their what? Imagination. Imagined it. Foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds. See, the problem man has, we want to see it. We want tangible, it's called empirical evidence. Again, I had a fellow tell me, you believe in a God that you've never seen before. I said, that's true. They want to create a God. And that's why they forced Aaron to make him a God. Give us something we can worship and look to. Notice that. Birds, four-footed beasts, creeping things, verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up. There it is a second time. Unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And they, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Notice, you know these verses. That's exactly where we are today, isn't it? Exactly where we are. And this must be a warning to us as humanity, as people, as a church, and now as a nation, that when we turn and change the glory of God and refuse to give Him glory, we will be naturally turned over to our natural lustful, reprobate minds. You leave men alone with no gospel and no rules, you can't imagine the vileness of human nature, right? We've seen that in the wars of the past. No Bible, no rules, nothing. No hold bar. It's open, free. Oh, the horrific, vile things that are done. And there comes a point when you do so much sin that God gives you over. We don't have time this morning for that. But you know that. Our nation, where we are. Now, what do? Let me encourage you with this. We follow the Word, you know, and seek the Lord while He may be found. There's coming a time when there's people will seek for God and He won't be around. Ignoring God enough, He'll turn a deaf ear to us. Some people wonder why my prayers aren't being answered, because you're not being obedient. You mean God would turn a deaf ear to me? Absolutely, that's what the Bible says. When they call unto me, I won't answer them. I wonder why America's not getting fixed. We've turned a deaf ear to God. We're disobedient to the Word. We're not following through with what God's commanded us to do. Anyways, now let's bring it home. Are you seeking Him today? I want to encourage you. I know it's cliche. You say, well, that's not going to solve all my problems. I know that. But we've got to take a step forward. Hey, if you made just an inch of progress this week spiritually, good job. Keep going. You had some setbacks. I know that. I had some setbacks. I slammed my finger in the car door and I said a bad word. I'll admit that. Nuts. I hate that. Don't you hate that? We had some setbacks. I'm being silly. We've had some real setbacks. We have. You keep going. Keep progress. Keep moving forward. What do I do about our country? Keep praying. It's all we can do. You do your dead level best to reach the people in your life. Keep trying to reach the circle of influence around you. You may not be very good at that, but do your best. Leave a gospel tract. Invite them to church. Do something. And you can, and I can, do our part that when we stand before Christ very soon, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Right? Well done. You did your part. Lord, I tried to do. He says, I know. And God is not unreasonable. He's not unfair. He doesn't put a heavy load on us that we can't bear. Again, remember this. He knows how much you can handle. I know that's hard to understand. He knows it. There are some things in your life that are causing you to keep stumbling. It's not always God's fault. You got to fix those yourself. I've got to fix those. Our country has to fix those things if we want to see revival. I doubt we will, but I pray we will. Continue to pray for, as we're commanded, for the authority We're to pray for our president. We're to pray for those in authority and our state and local officials. Keep doing that. As hard as that is, do that. And I believe when we stand before Christ, we collectively as a church, I believe God's going to gather us up in a little corner over here, every little church, and He's going to call us up. Okay, next, Faithway out in middle of nowhere, Edgewood. Where are you at? We're over here, Lord. We'll all kind of shuffle in and, hey, good job. Thank you. Stay faithful. This is what we have to do if we're going to see it in our country, in our world, in our city, in our little city. How many churches are in our little city, town? There's many. I think I counted 15 or 16 churches. What do? We do our part. We stay faithful to God. We keep going. We keep staying motivated. Lord, help me this week because it's not going to be easy. I'm going to fail. I'm going to forget to read the Bible. I'm not going to pray like I should. We're going to have an argument this week. We're going to bicker at each other. I know that. That happens to all of us. You keep making progress. You never know when it's going to end. That's why we trust Him. We look at Him and we believe. I have more, but I must stop there this morning. Yes, I must. Okay, let us pray. Father, thank You for Your grace today. I know that I've said some things that, Lord, we know already. It's a good reminder for us. As we see the progression of a nation, we start out, Lord, in all such desperation, bondage. It's such a great correlation to the believer. All of us started out in bondage to sin. You freed us from that. Over time, as a Christian, we get a little complacent. We get a little lazy. And we forget about where we came from. Help us, Lord, to come back to where we are, where we came from. Renew in our hearts a fresh view of You, the great grace You showed us on the cross and dying for our sins, Lord. We didn't work for it. We never could. It was just simply a gift from You. And as we come down, Lord, we pray for our nation as we have all this month. We seek You again. We may not see a lot of change, but Lord, we can change ourselves and we can reach the circle of influence around us, God. Those people in our bubble, help us to do our part. How we love You and we thank You, God. We pray You'd guide us this week. Help us, Lord, as we go forward. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.